First of all, I want to thank two of my students who collaborate in this research, Karin Vidal and Carolina Winkacz from the Department of Forest Science at the Catholic University of Chile. In this presentation, I want to give you a brief explanation about what erosivity is for those of you who are not very familiar with it. The purpose of this research, something about the materials and method that we use, the study area, and how we calculate this erosivity factor, the result that we got in terms of the recording rain gauge that we used, and the relation with the annual precipitation, and the estimated value in one of the stations that we use, and the creating technique that we use to create this erosivity map. At the end, some conclusion that came from this study. Rainfall events, specifically their magnitude and intensity, contribute the energy necessary to dislodge and transport soil particles. In most of the models, specifically in the revised universal soil loss equation model and many other newer models than that, the erosive power of precipitation is accounted for by a rainfall runoff erosivity factor, known as the R factor in the equation, and which combine the effect of the duration, magnitude, and intensity of each rainfall event. Unfortunately, the computation of the R factor is tedious and time-consuming. You need to take the storm, first of all, identify the storm, and you need to split the storm in a very small time step and to calculate the intensity in each one of them. So it requires also a continuous record of rainfall intensity. In Chile, even though there is a well-distributed rain gauge network, no systematic characterization of the territory exists in terms of rainfall erosivity. So the absence of this type of information constitutes a serious limitation to many soil and water conservation programs in the country. Then, the main objective of this study was to build a rainfall erosivity map for most of the cultivated land in south-central Chile. If you see the map of South America, Chile is located in the western side of this continent, beside the Pacific Ocean. And the study area that we explore in this research, it was between the 32 degrees and the 39 degrees, an area that is, in average, 100 kilometers width by 860 kilometers long in length. And it concentrates more than 90% of the agricultural land in the country. This territory is very characteristic in the term that in the north, the annual rainfall rate, it's about 200 millimeters per year, and in the south, it's about 300 millimeters per year. Then you have a continuous gradient from north to south, but also you have a gradient in terms of rainfall rate from the coastal mountains to the Andes mountain. And most of this area in the center is where the agriculture and forest land is, forest land activities are done. If you see from the north to the south, these are three pictures, one from the northern part of this study area, one from the center, and one in the south. The natural landscape in this area is like that, even though you can see a very green area there. That is because it's irrigated. But in the south, you almost have an entire region with just forest, and now pine plantations in the south. So the approach that we follow in this study is the one that was proposed by Brenner and Freiman in 1994 that is composed of four main steps. The first step consists in calculating the R factor or the erosivity factor by the prescribed method, the same that appears in the original version of the USLE proposed by Bischmeier and Smith in 1972, or the one that is improved by Renner in 1993, or the one that is proposed by George Foster in the Russell II version in 2005. So you calculate the R factor according to the original methodology for station with recording rain gauge. Then you can build a relation between the annual rainfall rate and the annual erosivity rate or value in each one of them. So you can get a relation to predict the annual erosivity based on the annual rainfall rate. This relation can be extrapolated and calculate the R values in other stations where you have only the annual rainfall rate or the annual mean rainfall rate in those sites. And at the end, you can draw the isolines between stations that, in other words, are just isoerodens or points that has the same rainfall erosivity. And with that, you can create a map. And those are the four steps that we follow in this research. So in terms of results, we select in the area 16 different rain gauge stations, one bearing in the north, one bearing in the south, and all of them distributed along the site, different latitude, different longitude, different elevations, one of them very close to the sea level, other one higher, closer to the Andes foothills, and with different length of records in terms of rainfall data. Some of them, it's not because we didn't want to use more data than that. In some of them, it was not available. Actually, we were working with the pluviograph, that are those pieces of papers where you have recorded this daily data or hourly data. And at the end, we were able to build a database with 274 years of data, and we isolate and separate in each one of them the storms. So we had a total of 5,400 storms in this study. Then we calculate for each one of them the mean annual rainfall. And as you can see, smaller values in the north, higher values in the south, and we calculate the rainfall erosivity factor with the traditional method for each one of those storms. And those are that appears here, the mean, the standard deviation, maximum, and minimum. Our N, it was 16 at this stage of the study. Later, with those two columns, the mean annual rainfall and the rainfall erosivity, we built the relation between those two factors. And those two columns are presented in this figure. This show on the bottom the precipitation in millimeters and the R factor in the vertical. You can get a model efficiency of 0.86 and a power relation, same as the one that it was, very similar to the one that it was discovered by Renan and Freiman in their paper. Since we have a very small number of stations here, we try a different approach at this stage. We are building and creating an equation with just 15 data points. So we decide, how about if we try, instead of using the average number, how about if we try with the annual number, year by year, instead of calculating the average of those 20 years, how about if we put together all those data associating the annual rainfall and the rainfall erosivity recorded for that year? So instead of having 16 data points, we ended with 274. And the equation is quite similar to the one that we got with the original approach. So since this could be much more robust than this one, we use this equation to predict the erosivity in all the rest of the station in the country. So in the fourth step, we look for different stations in the country where you have at least 25 years of rainfall, annual rainfall record. And we found a total of 241 stations from north to south. Here you have them printed. We locate each one of them, and we calculate the mean annual rainfall for each one of them. Using the equation that I showed you before, we calculate for each one of them the rainfall erosivity. Now we have a map with 241 data points where we have for each one the annual precipitation and the rainfall erosivity. Using these two maps, we use kriging techniques, and we create the annual precipitation map for the entire area and the rainfall erosivity map for the same area. Depending on the kind of map that you look at, you can see in the annual precipitation a range from almost zero in the north up to 3,600 millimeters per year in the south, and in terms of erosivity, numbers that go from 400 in the northern area up to 2,200 in the south. I will show you in the next slide a detail of this picture. Here the country is split in two. This is the upper side of the country, this is the lower side, and the R factor, as I told you, range from around 400 in the north and 7,200 in the south. You can see here that in the north there is a wide area where the erosivity is less than 400 megajoules per year. And it's an area where you can't see soil erosion activity or soil erosion effect in that area. But in the south of the country, especially where all the forest activities are done, you will see a lot of gullies in that area. That is exactly the same thing that this map is showing us. In some areas, the number is 1,400. In the foothills of the Andes Mountain is 1,500. And in the south of this region is around 7,200. It's a huge range from the north to the south. Finally, this study presented rainfall erosivity map for most of the cultivated land in South Central Chile. Rainfall erosivity estimates were based on two kinds of spatial data: direct calculation based on pluviograph records and indirect estimation based by using an empirical procedure based on annual rainfall. Rainfall erosivities in the study area range from less than 400 megajoules per year in the north up to 2,200 megajoules per year in the south. And finally, although the estimates could be improved by generating additional point estimates, the erosivity map should prove to be a good tool for land use planners in the south central region of Chile or any other area with similar rainfall characteristics. Thank you very much.
Well, this was the last presentation of the session. We are open for questions for Bonilla or for the other presenters.
Do you get winter erosion and snow?
Yes, a little bit. The thing is that it's so dry that nobody takes care about it. But if we have a wind erosion in the north and water erosion in the central and south area of the country.
What about the, did you try, you have a lot less points, but instead of mapping the erodibility estimated from precipitation, mm-hmm. use just the original one.
16
which,
points.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So we can run it and we can compare both maps and see how different they are. Yeah, that's a good point. And also on Thursday, we are showing an additional part of this study. In the soil erosion session, we are showing the soil erodibility map for the same area. And we are studying both parameters, one that is rainfall and the other one is soil vulnerability to soil erosion. I think it's on Thursday morning in the soil erosion
session. How does it look? What are the conclusions there?
It's an interesting because it doesn't fit exactly the soil vulnerability with the rainfall pattern. So the thing that we are doing now is combining both maps, because the K factor that is from the soil and the R factor that comes from the rain can be multiplied. So we can multiply both and we are creating a third map that is rainfall or soil erosion vulnerability in the area, combining both factors. And that third map looks quite different to this one or to the other one, too. But you are invited to come on Thursday, too. Yep.
With Russell, too, it now calculates changes in our
correct
season. Is that a future direction that you want to go in?
That's a good point. One of the improvements in Russell, too, is the issue that the original concept behind the rainfall erosivity, it was an annual value for an entire year. But since Russell 2 worked at monthly scale, it split this value in 12 different numbers that you add to get the annual value. So when this guy created the Russell 2, they thought that how can we come with a function to split this thing, and they create the erosivity density concept, where you have a ratio between the erosivity in each month divided by the total rainfall that we got in that month. We didn't present it here, but we also calculate that thing for the 16 station that we have. And actually, it fit quite good with the thing that is presented in Russell 2. One of the assumptions in Russell 2 is that the erosivity density, that is the ratio between erosivity and annual and monthly rainfall, doesn't change because of the height or the elevation of the data point. And actually, we confirm the same situation in Chile. We have six of the stations are almost at the same latitude, from almost sea level up to 800 meters, and exactly the erosivity density doesn't change. But it's something that we expect to have right in the near future to also present it, maybe next year.
Thank you.
Yeah, how that map of erosivity overlaps with the one land use in some way? Are there some activities that might be more risky than others in terms of how do they overlap?
That's a great idea. It's a to try. We just submitted a proposal now.
Okay.
to compare both things. We have the first step now, that is the K factor and the R factor, and now we have to want to see what the people is doing in those areas to overlap that. In other words, we are adding much more elements from the USLE equation now. We just have the K and the R, and now we are using something with the C factor and the P factor to that. But you are right. One thing is the vulnerability, but depending on what the people is. What is the land use in those areas too? That's a pretty good point too.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Last round of applause for the presenter.